We're going to take a little break this morning, I think. We'll kind of be on the same lesson, but a little break from our chart. Find a good jumping on place here. I want you to turn to John chapter 6. I wrote down, I'm going to read out here, I wrote down some verses, parts of verses, and I like to do that sometimes in a chapter, and just get statements out of that chapter and thoughts, and just write them down. But here, and we'll go back and look at these quickly, but in John 6:41, and we'll look at these things, we'll go back and read them. I've just wrote, he said, now I want you to listen to this. People have a hard time understanding where Jesus said you could eat his flesh or eat the word. Put it that way. But I want you to listen to these statements in John 6. I am the bread. I'm the bread of life. I am the living bread. How can this man give us flesh to eat? Eternal life. Church. It is the spirit that quickeneth. Words of eternal life. You see the thoughts? You know, when we write something down, we got thoughts, don't we? Of what we're saying. And what John is saying, what Jesus is portraying to these people is the importance of his word. And they didn't see it. But look here in John. Let's just go back and read John 6:41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Okay. Now, look at John 6:48. I am that bread of life. See these statements and how when you take a chapter, and take the thoughts and statements in that chapter. Don't just take a verse out of that chapter. I'm bad about it too, but we're so bad about that. And not having that chapter in its text. That's just like, I wrote in the front of my Bible, this book is a holy toolbox. And it's full of tools. And every tool is for a specific job. When you take a screwdriver and make a chisel out of it and set a door, you do an awful job, don't you? Every tool is for a specific use. And when you look at this chapter, that chapter will set that verse where it goes and how it goes. So in John 6, he said, I am the 6:41, the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which cometh down from heaven. Then John 6:48. I am that bread of life. Follow the thought with me. And then 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Okay? Look at 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? You see their confusion? Now follow this one. John 6:63. Here's where he explains what he's saying. But he lets them part and head their way. Let me start reading in verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna. You see that? He said, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna. Not like they just picked up something and put it in their mouth. All right? And are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue. All right, then let's go on down to 6. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who could hear it?" The second sowing, you remember what I told you the second sowing is, and the sowings of the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 13, the second sowing. Jesus said it sprung up, but then when the word, because of the word, it went away. They went away. They're offended by the word. Remember that sowing? All right. When Jesus knew it in himself, his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, "Does this offend you?" Many were offended and went away. All right. "What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." Now, if this don't explain that chapter, it's not explained. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He didn't say spiritual. He didn't say the words that I speak unto you, they are spiritual. He said they're spirit. And their life. And when you follow that word of God through the Bible, it's the word that quickeneth. It's the word that gives life. Then when I go back to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. Same was the beginning with God. All things were made by him. You see that? And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. See the importance? That's the importance. He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." This, what we're dealing with in this dispensation time is spiritual. We have a spiritual resurrection. We have a spiritual baptism. We have a spiritual death. And we've ate of a spiritual body, this word of God. And that word of God frees us from this flesh. Colossians chapter 2. That's not going deep. That's just, I'm honest with you. People say, "Well, you're dogmatic. You go over the top." I'm not going over the top. I'm reading what the thoughts of John chapter 6. And I'll read them again here. Watch what it says. "I am the bread. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. How can this man give us flesh to eat?" You see that? "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Eat them. The Bible is like honey. It's like an apple. It's like meat. And this isn't explaining itself all through the Bible. It's like an apple. It's like honey. It's like meat. And I went into that to just to go on into this lesson here. I want you to turn to Psalms 119:49. We have a starvation in America. We're anemic. What is it, anorexia? Is that the right word? On the word of God. We just can't eat it. We just choke it up and throw it back up. Psalms 119, verse 49. "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." No word, no hope. What's wrong with America today is no word of God. No firm foundation of the Bible. No firm foundation of Bible in the homes, in government. All right. Let's look at another verse here. No comfort. Verse 50. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." No comfort and no new life. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit." Jesus said they are spirit and they're life. Without the Word of God, there's no new life. It's a dead, everything's dead around it. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments, O Lord, and have comforted myself. No word, no self-control. What gives you self-control? When you become angry, don't tell me you don't become angry. Man, I do all the time. I mean to the point that you just want to blow up like a bomb. But what gives you self-control? The Word of God speaking in you, doesn't it? It'll come to your mind and your heart, and you'll tolerate things that you normally wouldn't tolerate. So is it, without the Word of God, there's no self-control. And it's just so true. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. No word, no song. You can't, when you're in pilgrimage, when you're in a tough time, you can't resort back to George Jones, Tammy Wynette. That's not a song in the night, is it? Huh? That's not a song that'll comfort you, quicken you, or help you. It's that Word of God, the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Huh? When you get death in your family, that song, no word, no hope, no song, no new life, no self-control. We got a country that's gone crazy because we took the Bible out of it. Amen. There's no self-control. And we'll look at some other things. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Without the Word of God, no growth. Write in those 49 through 56. You ought to mark that in your Bible. No Word of God, no comfort, no new life, no self-control, no song in the night, and no growth. People say with this charts like this and things like this is over the top. Brother, if you see this and got that in your heart, you run across some guy that's perverting the Word of God, you know where them scriptures belong. You realize Romans was wrote because of Acts 15:1? Or let's just say God wrote it because he wanted to write it. But look at Acts 15:1. Word of God's is important, and we make excuses that somebody's over the top or something like that without studying it and getting, hey, to me it's a joy and a blessing. Brother David, he followed me to my truck. He likes an apple tree that he can pick an apple from. You remember Preacher Whiteheart preaching that message that a guy in Charlotte preached? He's got a hunger. He wants to pick an apple from a tree. He wants to, and he just can't wait to get to share it. Or if he might have one he's picked somewhere else. But in Acts, what did I say? 15:1. Let me get there myself. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. They believed in salvation. They believed in Jesus Christ, but they put works and law with it. Now, how many people in America are doing that today? Putting works and law with it. But let me tell you, like anything, You fit it in here, it won't fit. Where does it fit? In them Jews over there. Now, they didn't have to be circumcised to be saved in this dispensation's time. They come in just like we did. But no word, no hope. And the Job, and I'm not going to turn there, but Job said in Job, where we studied, remember, he said, if I had made gold my hope, I watch Fox News a lot. Matter of fact, all I watch is golf and Fox News. Wife says I don't need a TV with channels on it, but two. But I watch Fox News and golf. But I lost my train of thought there. What was I? Where was I at? No word, no hope. If I have made gold my hope. But how many commercials do they have? Gold. Oh, put everything you've got in gold. Put it in gold. You better put it in God's work. Now, I'm not saying go out here and spend everything and be hungry. That's not what I'm saying. But you better invest in heavenly places. Because that gold, you can't eat it. And people will say, well, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What about Lazarus? He laid at the rich man's gate and begged, and he went straight to Abraham's bosom, didn't he? It rains on the just as well as the unjust. Just be ready to go with it and have God and have a song in the night. Have the word of God in your heart and be ready that way. You might shut the grocery supply off, and you might shut the power off, and you might shut that off, but you can't shut that power off that comes down from heaven. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Without the word, sin. These things have I written that you may know. Without the word, no assurance. You know why people are unsteady on their salvation? Why a preacher can get up and preach about 10 milk cows? And spiritual things like that and get people doubting their salvation. No word. When I realized how I was born again and how the word of God hath quickened me, you ain't gonna take that from me. Because it's the word that done it. It's not me to get up here talking to you that could make you doubt your salvation, brother. When you've went by the word of God, ain't nothing I can do. But Job said, if I had made gold my hope or my confidence, and I'm not saying prepare for your future. The Bible says, go to the ants, thy sluggard, consider his ways and be wise, be a wise man. But you'll also, as I've said along with that, that's to look after yourself too. That ant's going to live off of that and eat off of it. But do you see that ant leaving that stream of ants and going out his way? Huh? You ever sit over an ant hill and watch it? I've heard people preach messages many times on lazy people, which that applies. It applies very much in that. But they never consider that's the kingdom of heaven. Watch an ant. Buddy, that's a kingdom. Every one of them, you throw a biscuit out there in the yard, and you'll see a black line just like you drawed with a pencil. And every one of them is going to the same hole with the same thing and storing in the kingdom. An ant kingdom. That's where our thoughts are to be. If we'll go to the ants, thy sluggard, consider his ways and be wise, we'll be laying up things in heaven. Not be like the grasshopper when he comes to the end of his time and is not prepared. When he comes to the wedding and don't have the garment. He come to the wedding and the man of the house said, why cometh here without a garment? And if you'll read the scriptures, they went out and offered the garments, didn't they? They offered a garment. But the rich man would say, well, mine's fine linen. I don't want yours. I don't need that. I got this. No, you got to have this to come to the wedding. And the poor man say, well, I'm not worthy to wear that garment. All I've got, I can't come. I just got this. Oh, no, but I'm offering you a garment. Well, I'm not good enough for it. You don't have to be good enough for it. Just wash with the water of the word and put it on. And you'll have a garment. No word, no new life. No word, no self-control. No word, no song. No word, no growth. In 1 John 1:4, let's go there. No word, no joy. And if there's any time that we need joy, it's now, isn't it? When you look around the way this world's going and where it's headed, it's depressing. I ask myself, how did we get these people in control in our country? How did this happen? What were we thinking? Where's our country gone to? Trouble is, we wasn't thinking. And we're going by feelings. You realize that? We have an earthly mind. In Philippians it says, they mind earthly things. Everybody goes by this. See, feel, touch, taste, and measure. But the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And when they knew God, neither acknowledged him as God, neither were they thankful. See where the world's went to? And let me get back to this. 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You've got to get into the written word to have joy. You say, well, I got paid and I got money and I'm happy. Come on. Those things, better you, as Job said, if I had made gold my hope or my confidence, if your confidence is in your gold, you have a problem. Because you can't eat it. Amen? And look at 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We're wondering, and if you watch news and you watch this on TV, like I was saying in the Fox News, they're always saying, what's causing all these problems? They bring it all on the government. And they're a part of it. But there's no word of God there. No commandments. These things, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, a lawyer, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. These things were written that we sin not. What did I say a while ago? Be angry. The Bible says be angry and sin not. How are you going to do that without the word of God in you? Man, you just got to keep, when you get angry, you just keep trying to get that to push that mess out of the way, right? So he says these things, and this is all in 1 John. Look at 2:3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. All of these things are scriptures. Judgments, commandments, precepts, they're all the writings, scripture. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. No confidence and no assurance. Why people don't have confidence in God and confidence in it is because of the word of God. Paul said, we're stewards, in 1 Corinthians 4, 1, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. And moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to what? What are you faithful to? To the stewardship. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Take that thought, and when you're studying your Bible, and go to 1 Timothy. And Paul told him, do these things, these doctrines, I've told you, and be a good minister. Stewards of the mysteries of God. See, we've dropped them. Our churches have not been faithful to Christ in you. Ephesians, the body. And when's the last time you heard about the rapture? Our preacher in Revelation, preaching in Revelation, he's preaching it. But when's the other time you heard about it? When's the last time you heard about a judgment of fire? We've not been faithful to the word of God. Moreover, above all things, he said, is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. If a man's going to be a steward and a minister, he's going to be faithful to the word of God and to the mysteries of God. All right. Look at 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. No knowledge of or assurance of Christ. Is John not saying this is why I'm writing this book? That you may know him? These things I've written that you may know that you have eternal life. I tell you what, forgive me here, let me ramble a little bit, but forgive me here. Most of the time you ask, but how do you know you're saved? They'll give you their testimony. I was an old, wretched, blind, but oh, I was a drunk. You can go down here to the rehab and find a bunch of them that got over it, never got saved. Now, I'm not being ugly. I'm not being ugly. I'm just being truthful. These things have I written that you may know. If a man starts asking me that, I'm going to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You go, how many times you go to that? He believeth in his heart and confesseth in his mouth shall be saved. You see that? That's how you know you're saved. Because this book says you are. What documentation do you have? That you was a drunk and cleaned up your act, or if you was this or that, or if I was a religious person, which that was me, a religious person and cleaned up my act. No, sir, but these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. If you base your salvation on anything, base it on this word of God. Now, a man who's been cleaned up from these things, he's a happy man. And he's able to give him things up, and he's happy about it, and he portrays it, and he'll testify to it. But when it comes right down to it, he shall know that it's the word of God that made him free. It's that word that come in and freed him for it, because he couldn't do it by his own self. Amen? All right. Let's move on. 2:12. And now, we haven't changed the thought in this book, have we? 1 John. Not at all. I write unto you. See, he's saying, I write. I've written these things that I've written. And then look in 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Why would God forgive me? For his name's sake. Why would God forgive any of us for his name's sake? But how do we know we're forgiven? Why do we carry all these old sins with us? Why do we carry all this baggage and luggage? Because we're not in the book. Oh, I'm not worthy to do that. I can't teach this lesson. I used to do this. I used to do that. So what? God saved your soul. He made all things new. He buried him in the sea of forgiveness, never to be brought up again. You're not going to be judged. You say, why is this important? You're not going to be judged for your sin at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be judged for your works of what sort it is and why you did it. But you know what the beautiful part of that is? Go one more chapter over. I just love this so much because I think of some old, many old boys that I know were saved and they fell back into that old body, the sin of that old body. But why did God say at this judgment seat of Christ? So that all men may have praise of God. You know what he's going to have that judgment seat for? So he can clean every one of us up and present us to Christ pure and clean. In him. So when in 1 Corinthians, he's talking 1 Corinthians about that judgment seat. Go over there and read right at the end of that. He says, so that all men may have praise of God. He's going to praise you for just believing his word and getting saved. And I'm not saying this to make you not do nothing. By no means. But I'm saying that to show you the grace of God. He's going to present every one of us faithful. Because he's going to burn all that mess off of us. Somebody will think, well, you know, I've got so much more than everybody else. What all you've done, God done it through you. So when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and he cleans you up and so that everyone will have praise of God, who's he going to praise? He's going to praise his church, not you, not me. And when I saw that, I thought, how merciful God is. How merciful he is. That he would present us faultless.
Amen. Yeah.
As wicked as we are. That he would present us faultless. Now, look at 2:26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. You know why people are so easy seduced? They're not in the Word of God. Some, Jim knows as much as I do, politicians get out there and they'll sway people and people will fall right into anything. They're seduced. They're not in the Word of God. They don't recognize good and evil. They don't recognize it. No stability. Without the Word of God, no stability. They're easily seduced. I might not, well, I'll just, if Jim don't mind, I'll use their example. He might not get his way down on that board. He might not get his way, but he's not seduced by it. You see what I'm saying? Is that example? If a man's in the Word of God and a man's looking at the Word of God and what the Word of God says, and that's what he's basing what he does on, he's got stability. He's got stick to it. He's got stand up and speak up, sit down and shut up. He's got a backbone like a saw log. That's what we need when it comes to the Word of God. And how do we get that? How did John say we got it? 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. This book gives you that stability. Look at 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. No word, no salvation. Beware of all conversions, I'll just put it that way, apart from the Word of God. Look at it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Have you seen the first part of that? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know the Son of God, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people are saved. And like I said about myself years ago, and I've mentioned this so many times in this class, and it's still a prayer of mine, God help me to understand Calvary. Help me to know something about it. And God has helped me quite a lot to see what He did on Calvary. But how do I see it? Through this Word. If I just look at Calvary, at the horrible things of His beating and death, and I don't look at this, baptism of suffering, if I don't look at that cup that was poured out on Him, then I don't understand Calvary. Right? Am I right, Melvin? If I just see Him getting up there and Roman soldiers beating Him to death and hanging Him on a cross and Him dying, if I just see that, there's a thief right there beside Him. One on each side did the same thing. Got their legs broken. But if I see Him as taking that bitter cup that woman's holding in Revelation 17 and drinking that cup of the wrath of God, then that verse makes a whole lot more sense. Let's read it again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have I written to you that believe, that you might believe. Read it slowly. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This was written that we could believe. And our belief has to be based on the Scriptures. Do you believe the Scriptures? These things that are written. And you really believe on the name of the Son of God. Salvation's not that complicated. I'm not making it complicated. But I'm saying the reason people don't have assurance and they don't have confidence and they don't really know they're saved because they're apart from this Word of God. I ask a simple question. I like to use Exodus chapter 12 when I'm talking to someone who's doubting their salvation. The death angel passing over. When Israel crouched in those corners of that house and sat in those chairs and was peace, dead, peacefully quiet, knowing that the death angel was passing over. Were they afraid? There's fear in the land, wasn't there? I've read that somewhere, if I'm mistaken. But it wasn't them that didn't know they was going to get it, fearing. It was a fear of God. They knew that God's wrath could come, and it was going to come on Egypt. So they were sitting in there, but it didn't affect. What did that death angel look for when he passed over? The blood. Did he look inside the house to see the condition of that person? The thoughts of that person? How that person felt? He looked on the blood. And when he saw the blood, he passed over. And that's what God's looking for in our life, if you applied the blood. Then I ask him this. Did you ever ask God to save you? And they say, well, yes, I did. I said, well, do you know you're saved? No. Well, who lied? You or God? Did you mean what you said? Oh, yes, I meant what I said. Well, did God mean what he said? Yes, he meant what he said. Well, get up from here and go praise him. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man should he repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Wow. Who lied? If a little child gets down there on their knees and asks God to save them, are we going to stand up and say, well, they don't understand? They understood enough to get on their knees and ask him? Yeah. Who's going to lie? Are they lying? No, they're not lying. Did God lie? No. Well, don't put our restrictions on them. Let them get down there and ask him, and then let God take care of it from there. Amen. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Why, if he didn't save you, and yet, if you said it in your heart and meant it, and he didn't save you, then he'd have to repent. Wouldn't he? But you know why we have no confidence? Because we're not in this book. These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you might believe. These things have I written to them that believe on the Son of God. Are you following me? Are you following me? These things have I written to you that believe on the Son of God, that you might believe on the Son of God. If you're going to believe any more on the Son of God, you're going to get in this book, because it's on the things that's written. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God, thank you for your word. And I pray, God, that you'll bless in the next hour. Lord, that people who are doubting salvation, God, that you'll help them, Lord. Give them strength and courage. And help us all, God, to get into your word more. And help our preacher as he delivers this message, God. Use him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.